I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is sponsored by Five Deadly Rebels, a kung fu sci-fi scripted podcast from Dimension Gate. Available now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. The Five Deadly Rebels is a modern-day retelling of the Five Deadly Venoms, the cult classic 1970s kung fu film produced by the Shaw Brothers. It's classic kung fu meets the gangster genre meets science fiction, and it's all set in present-day New York City. The story centers around five masters of five different ancient martial arts styles: judo, kendo, muay thai, karate, and kung fu, with all of them vying for the biggest score in the criminal underworld of New York City. The soundtrack of the podcast is from Wu-Tang Clan producer Silver Rings, and I would describe the podcast as being a kung fu film in an audio drama, and it's definitely worth checking out now via your podcast provider. The season finale drops this Wednesday, 13th of December. Links to the podcast are available in the show notes of this episode. Five Deadly Rebels is narrated by Ian Tuerson for Dimension Gate, a fiction podcast production company. Visit fivedeadlyrebels.com for more details. Hello, Foo followers around the world. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast with your host, Ben Johnson. Remember, if you want to support this show, we have a donations link available via PayPal. Simply head over to paypal.me/Kung Fu Movie Guide to donate. This podcast is very much a one-man operation, so any donations you make will be greatly received and will be put back into the upkeep of this show. A huge thank you to anyone who has donated to the podcast already. That is fantastic. Thank you so much. To get in touch with the show, you can email me on hello@kungfumovieguide.com. We also have our social media accounts on Instagram and Facebook under the name @kungfumovieguide. We are also on YouTube and X, formerly Twitter, @KFMovieGuide. Keep up to date with all the new episodes of this show as they drop by subscribing wherever it is that you get podcasts. And if you do that, please do leave us a star rating or write a review. That all helps to spread the good word of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. You can also read the latest martial arts movie reviews, access our archive, and find all our contact information via the website, kungfumovieguide.com. Thank you for listening to this episode, and now on with the show.
Well, if you're really so determined to have a fight, then I'll oblige.
Hello, Foo followers around the world. Welcome, welcome one and all to the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast, episode 95. Thank you so much for tuning in, for listening, streaming, downloading. Marco Zaror is my guest on the show today, the great Marco Zaror, a.k.a. the Latin Dragon. This was great fun. He's had a tremendous 2023 with standout performances in John Wick Chapter 4, playing the main heavy Chidi. He has also starred in and produced the Chilean martial arts film Fist of the Condor. That is his fifth film with his childhood friend, the filmmaker Ernesto Diaz Espinosa. Their previous films together include 2006's Kiltro, 2007's Mirage Man, 2009's Mandrill and 2014's Redeemer, they are both leading the way for action filmmaking in Chile and actually across the wider Latin America region, helping to actually set up a lot of the infrastructure required over there to make these types of martial arts films. It's not always been an easy journey for Marco, but his incredible martial arts skills, his acting and his filmmaking talents have helped him to secure work in Hollywood. He has provided standout roles as the main antagonist in Undisputed 3. He has also worked a lot with the filmmaker Robert Rodriguez, with roles in Machete Kills, From Dusk Till Dawn, the TV series, and Alita Battle Angel. He's an incredible athlete, riding a wave of success at the moment with loads of new and exciting projects in the works. So it was an absolute blast to speak to Marco Zaror. That is coming up on today's show. Quick bit of business first regarding this podcast. Over the next week or so, as we get a lot closer to the holidays, we have now recorded our annual end of year show. That was over the weekend just gone, on Saturday to be precise. Our end of year show features the author of Life of Action Volume 1 and 2. That's the action movie expert Mike Fury. Great fun was had as per usual, and I can't wait to share that episode with you all. We opened a few Christmas presents and counted down our top 5 martial arts movies from the year. The show will be split into 2 parts as per the format from previous years. So the plan is to release part 1 next week. That will be on the 18th of December. That's a week today. And then part 2, in which we discuss our favourite fight films of the year, that will land on Christmas Eve. So that's the 24th of December. A huge thank you to everyone who sent us comments and feedback on your favourite fight films of the year. We did try to read out as many of those messages as we could. So be sure to check out our special 2-part end of year show 2023. When it lands in whichever podcast provider you use. And if you're feeling festive and in a giving mood, then you can always donate to the show via PayPal. And if money is a bit tight at the moment, which I do completely understand, then there is always the gift of a star rating, or maybe you could write a little review with your podcast provider. That would also be greatly received. Okay, that is enough from me rambling on. Let's throw over now to our guest on today's show, the great Marco Zaror. Marco was actually on holiday at the time we recorded this in November of this year, 2023, and we had quite a bit of technical issues from the start. We were jumping from Zoom and then into Instagram for a little bit, and then we were in Google for a while, and then we managed to fix the issue with Zoom, so we did managed to finally get going. Anyway, there's not too much to know ahead of this chat, other than there is a little bit of swearing in here, so if that does bother you, then you have been warned about that. Marco's film Fist of the Condor is available now in the UK on Blu-ray, DVD and digital, courtesy of Dazzler Media. I will be back at the end of this conversation to sign off properly, but until then, here we go. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with the great martial artist and action star, Marco Zaror. ...2023 has been a pretty awesome year for you, the year of Marco Zaror. John Wick 4, Fist of the Condor as well, which I loved. You've made a movie as well with JJ, is that right? And Scott?
Yes, the Killer Games. Yes, and I actually just, you know, we're just shooting a movie in Thailand. The name is Affinity. It's a movie that I actually wrote. It was one of my original story, and I wrote with other two writers. And, you know, it took a long time for us to develop to do this. And finally we did it, and I'm very, very excited. It's a beautiful movie. It's one of those stories that you create and you kind of fall in love with you know, wanted to communicate this and putting it together, going to Thailand, working over there with an amazing stunt team. Some of them have worked with Tony. Some of them are part of the Tony Jaa old stunt team too, you know, so was pretty good for me to work with them, you know, and see their style and how they like to move and how they like to fight, and then adding my own flavor to that. It seems unique. It was something that I've never done before. So I was very, very happy and, you know, about this. I'm looking forward for you guys to see it because it looks amazing. So, yeah, it was, you know, it was a pretty good year, man. To be honest to you, it's like, what can I say? You know, like I had some independent personal projects released, like Feast of the Condors, such a special movie for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's a movie that talks about, you know, my journey as a martial artist, and it's something that is pure passion of what I love about the genre, and something that we create with Ernesto that is so honest of what I am as a human being in terms of martial arts. You know, it's like, yeah, it was a very beautiful opportunity. And then, of course, John Wick is like,
I mean,
what can I say about that?
Incredible, isn't it? Yeah, and to go from, I guess, you know, that experience of, you know, those two great movies you've released this year, one which is very heartfelt, passionate, very personal, an indie project, and you're so involved, and then a behemoth like joining the John Wick universe. I mean, you couldn't get more like contrasting experiences, I would imagine. But I guess that's a statement really to where, you know, how hard you've worked to get to this stage where you can kind of dip into both worlds now, can't you, Marco? That's how it sort of seems.
Yeah.
Does it feel like that? You're in a really good sort of place, like professionally now?
Yeah, I'm really thankful. I'm really thankful because I feel that I co-create my path, right? Yeah. Doing my independent films in Chile and getting people to know my work. And then that, for some reason, got me in the eyes of people that really, you know, gave me the opportunity. And I think they just saw the passion, they saw the hard work, because when you're a filmmaker, you understand how hard it is to make a movie. And you know, even though you're doing a low budget movie, it's still a lot of work. It's not like, it's not like, oh, it's just a low budget movie and whatever. No, if you do a low budget movie and it looks good and you cultivate people and you got good reviews, that's something very special, because everybody knows how hard it is to make these things, you know?
Yeah.
So especially people that are working already in the big industry, because they also were, they started from the bottom, you know, they start, you know, for example, my first big call I remember was when Robert Rodriguez called me and offered me to be in Machete Kills. Mm. He saw the movie Mandrill, a very low budget movie, that it was in some festivals and all that. And then Harry Knowles did some comments on it. And then Harry Knowles, you know, I think he mentioned to Robert or something. Something happened there. I don't know exactly the details. But then he offered me to be in Machete Kills. And then we became really good friends and he always supported me. Maybe he connected with himself when he was starting, when he did El Mariachi. And actually, he was a big inspiration for me, because for me and Ernesto, because we were like, look, we just need to go out there and try to make it. Just make a movie. You know, we don't need to just be waiting for the perfect opportunity. And that's how I start my career. That's how I start my journey. You know, so I've been lucky to just do what I love to do, and be consistent. And it's been sometimes very hard. You know, sometimes things doesn't go the way you plan, and sometimes, you know, you gotta adapt. And you know, in terms of like the movie industry is hard. You know, it's hard to make a living. It's hard to, you know, keep that having a healthy mind, understanding that maybe there's a year that you're not working. And then maybe you go to an audition, and you don't get it, and you don't, like, all the no's you hear in this career is so frustrating.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like 99% of the time you hear no.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's embedded in the sort of the martial artist mindset, isn't it, around overcoming challenges and training and working on yourself and always sort of driving to get better. Do you think that sort of mentality has sort of helped you to overcome, you know, some of those challenges that you faced also in the film world? Do you think that you need that kind of fighter's spirit, that mindset sometimes?
You know what? I think more than that, it's when you understand that and you connect with your life journey and not a passion is the word, but also when you understand who you are, right? And what you're here for, and you stay honest to that, then you understand there's not another way.
Yeah.
So I don't care how many no's I'm going to get, what I'm going to do. I'm just going to change job and be in a, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, I can't. Now,
this was the dream, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like for me, it's like, it's more than a dream. It's understanding that this is why you are in this world. You know, you have a talent, you have, you know, you naturally do things in life. When we were kids, when I was young, like I was obsessed with training and get better, and I could be the whole day just talking about it and just training and watching movies and all that. It just came naturally to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to force that. I didn't need to go, oh, today I have to stretch. Oh, today. No, I was so sure that this is what I love to do,
yeah,
that there was not a doubt in my mind that my life was going to be related to this. Now, that doesn't mean that I was clear that I was going to make movies and be a leading man in movies. I never even imagined that. That was not even a dream. That's why I'm saying it's not a dream. I identify very early that martial arts was my passion and my journey, and I didn't know how, but I was going to be connected to that. And then I just embraced the mystery, and I tried to ask life to give me signs, to follow those signs, so then I can just follow this path of being truthful with myself.
We should talk about Fist of the Condor, because it says chapter one as the sort of subheading. So I'm guessing, without wanting to spoil the film as well, if anyone, I'd be very surprised if anyone listening to this hasn't seen it. Plans for part two? Is that happening?
We already have, we have a treatment. We have an idea. I'm looking forward to talk with Welgo soon.
Yeah.
And with the distributors of Fist of the Condor 1 to try to put it together. Like, hopefully next year, you know, we can shoot that. That would be a dream for me. I want that to happen so bad, because the whole story we need to do at least one more.
Definitely. You know? Yeah.
My dream will be to do more than one. You know, I would love to do more and continue this, because it's a beautiful journey that it can go through many it could take many directions, you know. And I would like to explore that, right?
Yeah.
But at minimum, we have to do one more. Like, we have to do that, you know. So,
well, the story's not fully resolved yet. Should we leave it without spoiling the film? You know, the story needs to be resolved. Yeah.
Exactly. And yes. Because this project started, is it? We didn't even knew that it was going to be a movie. We just shot this as a sequence of different episodes. We never thought that we're going to end up cutting it into a movie. We were thinking on little episodes to throw it in a streaming or YouTube or something like that. My idea was to just do this and have people to see this and connect with this. And we were in COVID. I thought that it was going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, well, might as well. I just need to do something that totally, without any holds back, I need to do something that represents me as a martial artist, as a human being.
And it's very personal, because we should say that your mum is in the film as well. Gina Aguad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your mum. She sounds incredible. First Chilean woman to have a karate black belt, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. She's, you know, very unique, special human being, and I was very lucky to be in this world because of her. She has a very interesting path. When she was 15, she was living in a monastery, in a Buddhist monastery in Peru. She, you know, very early in meditation and yoga and kung fu and all that, against all the society and all the, you know, families, like, are you crazy? You know how it is. Like, how could be back then? I'm talking about, you know, back then, right?
Yeah.
Couple generations back. So then, you know, when she moved to Chile, she wanted to continue training. And then it was hard, because in Chile, it was just the military,
Pinochet,
where the Pinochet arrived and they prohibited martial arts. So training martial art was kind of an underworld, illegal thing, prohibited. So yeah, and then she was training there. She trained karate, and then she was like, she got her black belt, and she was the only woman training there, because back then, like, a girl doing karate was like no girly. In Chile, like, we don't have a background of martial arts. Like, for us, Latin America, like, it's not like in China or Japan. Yeah. It's more common, you know, but in our culture, like, it's very crazy, right? And she always wanted to, like, her dream was to be, to study acting and theater. You know, she's very artistic. Like, she writes books. She already published a couple books of poetry and small stories books. Mm-hmm. So I knew that she was going to be the perfect master on this movie. And when we were thinking about the movie, and Ernesto already, he already knows he knows her. He knew that there was only going to be one woman Condor. Like, really? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it was more like that, you see. And yeah, she did amazing, I think.
It's, yeah, fantastic. You know,
she's natural, like her performance is just amazing.
And it was fun to work with your mum in a movie.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we should highlight the fact that, you know, I read somewhere that the Condor style, I mean, that's not a martial arts style. You sort of created that style for the film.
Oh, yeah, because basically me, I'm who I am. I'm a human being that was born in the south of the world in a country that there was no martial arts. Seeing all these Asian movies inspires, I will say Bruce Lee, inspired by just Bruce Lee. I connect with that Bruce Lee thing. Like, he was explosive and have this passion, the realism. Yeah. Then Van Damme show up, and oh, that was cool, you know, to see a non-Asian guy doing this stuff. But that was more like, okay, cool. You know, like, yeah, oh, the splits or the flying kick, that's cool. Bruce Lee for me was like a spiritual revelation kind of thing. It was so powerful. Like, I still feel like I, you know, for me, Bruce Lee, it's more than just an actor or just like someone that inspired me. It's hard to explain.
Is he still quite a force in your life, would you say?
100%. And in every of my movies, you'll see Bruce Lee in every movie.
Yeah.
Like Fist of the Condor, it's a homage to Bruce Lee.
Yeah,
you know, also for the genre, for the films and all that. But if you'll know what I'm talking about, like you saw the movie and you understand that he's everywhere.
When I was watching it, I was picking up all of these old kung fu movie references, the secret manual, you know, going up on the to a sort of monastery type environment where you then learn from, you know, the kung fu instructor. There was a lot of references there that to me seemed to hark back to the old kung fu movies.
Yeah,
is that right?
Because, yes, because we did this, remember, with Ernesto. He's my best friend, partner since, you know, we were in high school. And when I told him that I want to do this project, right, I sent him all my notes of martial arts, nutrition, philosophy, everything, right? Mm. But then he is a filmmaker. He put together also what he loves about filmmaking and about movies and his passions. So this is a movie that talks about me, my journey as a martial artist, and also his journey as a filmmaker, and maybe what inspires him to be a filmmaker.
You're a monk. You're not supposed to kill. Haven't you any mercy?
Let's talk about Ernesto, because you guys, I know you go way back, but, you know, Kill Tro was, what, 2006? And you've made, I think now that's, is there five films you've made together? I think it's five films.
Yeah, well, Kill Tro, then we did Mirage Man, then we did Mandrill, then we did Redeemer.
Yeah.
And then we did Fist of the Condor, yeah.
Yeah. Could you just describe, how was that relationship, that partnership, how has it matured, do you think, over the years?
Well, great. First of all, we're friends. We're two people that share this this journey, this passion of filmmaking, and I always will be very happy to work with him. He's an amazing director, and for me, being directed by him, it's just amazing. Like, I will do it a million times, right? We started with Kiltro as a very young, and we were able to explore different styles and different genres and doing the movies we did, because Kiltro is one thing, Mirachman is totally the opposite. Mirachman is like more documentary style, and we touch into the superhero things, and then Mandrill is like more like the agent guy, like a little retro
with like a spy movie, James Bond,
like a spy movie. So then Redeemer is more like a classic action, you know, guy, movie, right? So we were able to grow also doing these movies. And thank God I had the opportunity to learn through working, not just being on classes of acting classes. I think I see with all these years becoming a much better performer than before, you know, like I'm more mature, I got more life with me that allows me to access different emotions and feelings and things to bring to a character that makes the character more interesting, you know?
Definitely. Well, I would say that about, not blowing smoke here, but I think within the martial arts movie world in particular, there's not many people who can carry off, you know, the amazing moves that you can do, but the range of characters, the different emotions you can do. Because also we should say, you know, a lot of the films that you've made with Ernesto have been quite funny as well. Like, they've had a sort of lightness about them, a sense of humor. You carry that off really well. You can do outlandish characters like in Undisputed 3. You've learned and developed and evolved as an actor. Do you still try and find roles that can really challenge you in that regard as well, would you say?
Yeah, actually, Affinity is one of those. And I'm looking forward for that, because one is my first leading role movie in English, right?
Yeah.
So that's already a big challenge.
Yeah.
Also, the Affinity has a big range of, like, how can I explain this? The story is so rich in terms of what happened to the character, that I have many different scenes that are from different, you know, being more practical and more boring, like techniques or like performance or situations, that it kind of you explore a bigger range of the human emotions. It's a very emotional movie. Like, I think it's been the most challenging role that I've done in my career, for sure.
When you were describing it there, I was thinking of Mandrill, because that's got a real, you know, at the core of that film is actually the central sort of romance of it.
Yes.
You know, and again, I think it's rare to find an action star that is willing to be that open and that vulnerable, you know, and definitely in Mandrill, there's definitely scenes there where, you know, you're doing the dancing and the karaoke and all that sort of stuff. Like, yeah, but
yeah,
you don't see a lot of like action, tough action stars doing that kind of role. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mandrill actually is true. Mandrill will be the closest in terms of, you know, Mandrill also is very complex and it was very tough. I just think that now that I'm more mature and I have more experience, I was able to go a little deeper on it, you know, because I had more, you know, I have more life with me. To be honest, I'm all very excited to see the Killer Games, to see Fight or Flight, because I had a lot of fun there and the characters are very, very fun, like totally different. You'll see like Killer Games character and Fight or Flight characters are very, very, I think, unique. It puts me in a position, in a such a weird, different element, you know? Yeah. So it's a funny one. It's like, I'm looking forward for that. That was a very fun, they were very fun projects, to be honest with you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Abbott, you better give up.
When it comes to Chidi and John Wick 4, could you explain a little bit about, you know, how you approached playing that role?
Yeah, well, in that one, when Chad called me and made me read the script and all that, the character was very like, you know, he has some lines in French because he was working for the Marquis, right? Yeah. But Chad, right, already knew that, you know, he putting me on the role was, you know, he actually told me, like, man, have fun with it. Tell me what you think. In order for me to bring that, I was never thought that he wanted me to be, have a French accent and just do it the way it was in the script. Yeah. So in John Wick, for me, the first thing was like, why I'm going to be French? Why I'm not Latino, you know? And then and of course, you know, you check with the director all the time. It's like, hey, I want to, can I say instead of French, can I say some words in Spanish? And I'm like, oh, totally, totally. So then you start realizing, okay, well, then I can explore this way, you know? And then you start, you know, adding that flavor and then adding that, bringing some of you to the character. Then the same thing with the fighting style, right? They had a certain fighting style, and I'm like, oh, can we change this to that? Can we make it more like this? So then little by little, and then start working on the idea of, okay, why I'm here? Why this guy is working for the Marquis? What's my ambition? What I want? And in Chidi, for me, you know, my story was, I'm better than these guys, and I want to be a star assassin like John Wick, like Kane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, so that's why I work my way up to be the right-hand side of the Marquis. Mm-hmm. You know, I prove that I'm the best. Man, I'm the number one guard of the table, the high table.
Yeah.
I'm the best mother. Like, I'm the best out there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, I'm confident that I'm the best. But I have these star assassins that I hate them because I want to be like them. I want to be famous like everybody. You know, it's like they all talk about John Wick, how he's such a badass and nobody can kill him. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm better than him. So once I discover this, right, as a character, then that gives me, you know, for example, when I'm with my boss, yes, he's my boss, you know. But when I'm alone, for example, the first scene that I do in Osaka, when I arrive with Hiro, right? I'm better than all of you guys. I'm not going to buy into your shit. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? So I'm having fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So I'm not there to threaten anybody in a bad way. I don't need to, man. I don't buy your thing. And then when Kane arrived and he started talking about the owner, I'm like, oh my God, man. It's so like, you see? So then right away you start discovering how your character will act in the situations that the movie puts you, right?
Yeah.
And then also when I have finally my chance to catch John Wick, right? When I'm talking with the Marquis and he tells me, when I tell him, sir, I don't understand why you're sending a blind guy. You pick a blind, like, what I wanted to tell him there is like, why you didn't pick me?
Yeah,
I was pissed.
Yeah.
And he tells me that, and then he look at me and he goes, well, I don't think he's going to make it, right? I took it as, just make sure he don't get, like, he gave me the responsibility.
Yeah.
And that's why when I'm fighting with him, I'm so excited because I know that this is my opportunity to prove and to achieve that I'm better than him.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then the fight and everything, the way I move and all the fight that I'm picking has to match that feeling. So that's that anxiety when I'm driving, when I'm fighting, I'm very explosive because I'm like about to explode of excitement.
And you must have been just over the... I mean, what a cast. You were sparring with Hiroyuki Sanada, Donnie Yen, Keanu as well. You know, the run-ins you have there in Paris, like, are just fantastic. It's a fantastic film. But you must have been just so excited just going to work every day.
Yes. Yeah. I was so happy every day with a big smile. Like, what can I say? You know, it's like Keanu is the best. Like, working with him was before and after in my career, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
To see that is a big inspiration. To see that level of human being is a big inspiration.
So that's true then. That's not just myth-making like Keanu. Like, from what I gather, he's always very positive. He's hardworking. You know, he's in the gym. He's training. He's working the choreo. He's doing all the moves. You saw that firsthand then?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the way that I love to be in my movies. Like, I'm the same way. I feel related with him because I love hard work and I like to push myself and at the same time to, you know, to have a good time and have everybody having a good time. There's a lot of myths like, no, once you start making it big, then you get corrupted and then you lose the passion and then it's not going to be the same and you're not going to care because that's how it is. You know, you hear all these stories and I'm like, I don't think so, man. I don't think so. I don't know when you... And you know what is part of that is also feeling that there's always something else to learn. I always like to be the student. You know, I don't like to call like the sensei or the master. I don't feel like that.
Yeah.
I'm a student. I'm learning every day. When I stop learning, I'm going to just die, you know?
Yeah.
So and I feel that when I'm in a movie, I try to do my best and I try to push myself every time. And at the same time, I'm like there looking at what they're doing. I'm trying to learn, okay, why they're putting the camera like this? Why? I was all the time next to Chad and like asking him questions like, oh, but what do you think? Are you sure about this? Or yeah. So because I'm trying to pick the brain of people to learn because I just want to know why they're doing it, what they're doing, so I can try to absorb as much as I can.
What impressed you the most about Donnie Yen? That must have been quite an experience working with him.
He's very cool. He's very nice, very nice. And you know, but he for the age that he has and all that is,
yeah,
you know,
60.
He still moves and you know he's still moving.
Crazy.
He's fast and
yeah.
And he's amazing with choreography and you know, yeah. Amazing. It's a big honor to work with him. Part of one of the inspirations too. I remember seeing Flashpoint, you know, and going, wow, this is, you know,
change the game,
you know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
The creepiest.
There isn't going to be a chapter 5, is there? Things keep coming up on my phone to suggest there's going to be a chapter 5, but
I don't think anybody knows. I think the way Chad and Keanu are like, they. I'm sure if you ask them right when they finish shooting number 4, they're like, no way.
I thought that after number 3, to be honest, Marco. I was shocked they did a number 4.
Yeah. Yeah, and who knows? I don't know. Yeah. I'm just talking out of my mind. I don't know. And I don't think nobody can answer that question. I think it's very personal, I think. I think it's all about if Keanu believes on a number 5, if Chad believes on a number 5, if they find that calling, if they receive that calling from
they'll
up there, they're going to do it.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, man, because I'm sure if one day Keanu is sitting talking with Chad, and they come up with an idea that they love and that idea creates this passion again, they don't care how hard it's going to be. They're going to do it because they love that challenge because they're like two kids that once they see something, they're going to get so passionate about it. They're not going to just quit because it's hard. No, yeah. That doesn't exist. That word doesn't exist in these minds. You understand? Nothing is hard when you're doing it from the truth.
When you saw it for the first time, just the size, the scale of that movie, were you must have been very impressed, I guess, like everyone was. Were you
just knocked out by the movie? In shock. Yeah. I was in shock, man.
Yeah.
I was so in shock, man. And I remember the first time I saw it, it was such a weird feeling that I couldn't even keep it together, man.
Yeah.
And then I had to, when I enjoyed the movie the second time, to be honest. The first time I was so like, I was shaking, I was nervous, I was jumping in every scene. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah.
No, it was amazing, man. Amazing. Amazing experience. And I was able to, I saw it in the IMAX. The first time I saw it was in the New York premiere. And then the second one in the LA premiere, and that was just like you felt everything, boom, you know, everything was amazing.
I wondered also, because you're part of that franchise that has kind of fundamentally shifted the way that Hollywood is approaching action. You know, it seems like, you know, every film since John Wick is compared to John Wick in some way. I just wondered, you've been on the inside, so you've seen how, you know, the 8711 team work, you see how Chad works. What do you think it is that those guys just have there that has made them so successful?
Well, I think it's a pretty simple answer for that. You know, well, not simple in short, in length, but when you have someone that have hit the ground, being a stuntman, understand what it feels to be crushed by a car, understand what it is to do a choreography, and being a martial artist and have the passion for martial arts, just that.
Yeah.
And then you give with, and then plus the knowledge of filmmaking, because when you're doing stunts, people think stunts, is the guy just fall in the roof or whatever. No, you know, the stunt work involves everything. You need to know how to shoot, to do a previs, to rehearse, you need to edit, you need to, so you're a filmmaker. So when you start giving the trust to these people that come from this side of the film industry that never before is being taken care, is being taken in consideration as more serious than just, just fall there. This is what happened. You blow people's mind, because it's honest, it's true, and that it replicates. Then you have JJ. Look what happened with JJ. That's why I say this is a before and after John Wick in the movie industry, because now executives are like, so these people know how to grab a camera and and they know how to do this. It's like, I know it sounds a little like, you know, but it's true.
Yeah.
If you look now, there's a lot of directors, you know, that are coming from the stunt world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is because of John Wick.
See, I just want to kill you like dogs.
We're all getting older, and I feel it every day. I know making martial arts films is, my gosh, it's the hardest thing. And I you know, I can imagine it really, you know, takes its toll on the body anyway. I just wondered if you're noticing as you get a bit older, is it getting harder as you're getting older? Or, I mean, obviously you keep yourself pretty sort of physically fit, which probably helps, but have you noticed that at all, Marco?
Yeah, I could say that sometimes recovery, of course, is longer, and of course if you have an injury you have to be extra careful.
Yeah.
But to be honest, man, this movie, Affinity, I had big action scenes and I felt better than movies that I've done when I was 30.
Wow.
I feel that my training now is in a stage where, and my nutrition is in my very best moment of my life. Like, I nail my nutrition and my training such in a way that I have a coach that his name is Carlos Cardemil, that he's from Chile, and he's been training me for many years. And the little tweaks that we've done towards the end, like these couple of years, I feel it puts me in a place where physically I'll say I'm in my best ever in terms of performance.
Wow.
I'm not going to be maybe doing too many acrobatics and tumbling all over the place because it's a high risk injury thing, right?
Yeah.
But to be honest, in the movies, you don't do many, like, you know, that's not a lot. Like what most drains you is when you're doing fight scenes the whole day. And then the next day, how your body recovers, if you're sore, if you're not sore. I do understand, like, I'm a human and I'm going to get old and there's going to be a point where I'm not going to be able to do what I'm doing right now. Yes. But that's why I'm focusing on making more action movies. And then I'll adapt, you know, like Luke Keanu, Luke Donnie Yen. They're still action stars. They're still doing all the action.
Great inspirations, aren't they?
The great inspirations. For me, it's like, wow.
Was one of the hardest shoots the Undisputed 3 shoot? I read you did fight. Did you do 5 days nonstop pretty much there?
Yes.
Fighting? Yeah.
Yeah, Undisputed was a tough one. Very tough. Was very demanding, but I didn't have the preparation that I have now in terms of knowledge, right? But I was younger. So I kind of would love to shoot Undisputed again in the same conditions and see what would happen if I do it now.
Could your body still, you could do it now?
Yeah. Like I could still do all the moves that I did in Undisputed. Yeah. I could still do those moves. And the thing is that Undisputed is a little different because you're in a ring with shorts, in a nice floor
with the lights,
it's like being in the gym training. When I'm in the gym training, it's pretty easy. I could do all the moves and you move and you explode. The problem is when you're in a set where you're fighting and there's rain in the concrete with boots, with the pants that are stretchy, that they don't feel too comfortable, and then you have a shirt, and then you have a necklace, and then and there you're like, gosh, you know, maybe the kick that you're used to do in the gym is not going to work just like that in the middle of, like, you know, just adding the boots, for example, or just adding the clothes, it makes a big difference, you know.
Is that one-eyed bastard here? Who the hell are you? You dare call our boss that?
You're still sort of flying the flag for Chile and particularly Chilean action cinema. You know, there isn't many other people doing it. Is that fair? Is that fair to say?
No, there are not. There's no one action film thing in Chile. It's just us when we make the movies. There's no enough people. Right, that understands. And every time that I go there, I kind of need to collect a group, teach them what to do. So the prep is a little longer.
Yeah.
Because I don't count with people that has the experience to deliver action in the way that you can find in the US or in Thailand or in other places in the world. Like in Europe, you know, there's a very good level of stuntmen that they train. That they work and you know, they make a living working, and that's why there's industry. In my country, doesn't exist. They do other type of movies, more comedy, more like politic movies. Mm-hmm. So there's not a space for the stunt team to grow and to develop and to get better.
I mean, that just goes to show how even more impressive, particularly Kiltro, was when you just literally you were literally starting from scratch there. You know,
that was from scratch.
Yeah, it's incredible. And what you achieved as well on the movie is, you know, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, I think it was a nice journey, that one. Nice experience, because it was bringing a genre to a country that never even done one bit of action in actually Latin America. Like, you never seen before Kiltro like a martial arts fight in a movie. They just doesn't exist, you know. Well, actually, you know what? I'm wrong. There is a movie that I did in Mexico.
Okay.
The name is Chinango. I was 19 years old.
Okay.
That was actually the first, but it was not released in the theaters. So that's why it was like a very small, it doesn't kind of count, right?
Yeah.
Because Kiltor was officially theatrical release and it went around the world and went to theaters and like, you know, so it's different.
Yeah.
But this actually movie I did in Mexico, but actually it was the same thing. Nobody knew about action and I had to put together a team of martial artists and just do this movie. And it was just like, a very like a video home low budget movie in Mexico that I have some fighting martial arts, but that was before any type of any experience. Wow. That was just me following instincts, right?
Yeah. So
the Kiltor was, I did it after I did the movie The Rundown and learned from Andy Chang. So I kind of apply all that I've learned from Andy working with JJ and all that. It's like, okay, this is how you do an action movie. Now I brought all that experience to Chile and the Kiltor. Chinango was even before that, before I even moved to the US.
I read somewhere that I think this was maybe before you started working with Robert Rodriguez, you were almost at the point of maybe quitting films, moving away from the film world entirely. And I read that you were considering potentially the UFC, becoming a professional fighter. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
After the movies that I did in Chile, for reasons, like we don't need to go too deep on it, but, you know, the movies were not rep by the right person. You know, the person that were kind of in charge of the movies didn't do his job. And I kind of felt very disappointing because I found myself with three movies that they had amazing reviews. Everybody loves them. Mirachman winning awards around the world. Mandrill winning awards around the world. Like people, everybody talking about it. And the money, it was not good, right? So I'm like, I was very disappointed in the industry. So that then was when I started to kind of like, you know what? And then the crazy thing was like, Kiltor was in HBO. Mirachman was sold to more than 90 countries, territories, winning awards and everywhere. Mandrill, the same thing. I'm seeing the Blu-ray in Germany in 3D. They did this 3D thing.
Yeah, cool.
I'm like, okay, but it's weird. Like, it didn't make sense to me. And I just said, you know what? I was young and I actually was our fault too, like to just rely on someone blind, you know, and just rely on someone. And so then I was a big disappointment, right, in my life. And then I'm like, look, I cannot keep doing this because I cannot be passionate about something that I don't believe. Like, because I was a producer of these movies. I raised the funds and I make the project happen and da da da. So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop this. I'm just going to, and because I love, like I told you, I have a love of martial arts and I knew that my life has to do with that. I was like, okay, what now? And then UFC was becoming very popular and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just train and I'm going to do I want to fight. So I was like maybe 4 to 5 years training to kind of like, I've learned wrestling, you know, I've learned a little submission fighting. I learned.
So you were serious. You were gonna take that route then.
Yeah, yeah. And I was ready. I was about to go to Peru. I met this master, Tony De Sousa, that he was, you know, a guy that fought in the UFC and then he retired and went and is living in the Moon Valley, like very mystical kind of story. Great. And I was like, oh, you know, I met him and he invited me there, going there. And he's like, yeah, train with me, whatever. And then I received a call from Robert Rodriguez. And that he saw Mandrill. And then actually he told me, man, you know, I have this role for you and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, well, life is telling me, give a little chance to it. Like, don't give up yet. You know, and that's how I saw it. And of course, I did that movie, and then everything changed from there. You know,
he's someone you're still in touch with, Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. We text here and there, but he's a busy guy. I'm not. It's not like we talk in the phone all day. No.
Yeah.
No. But. Yeah. But we once in a while we check, how are you doing? He's very into nutrition and also training.
Right.
You know, he likes to be in good shape.
And yeah.
Sometimes we talk about that, and, you know, always, for me, I'm always waiting for his call, because working with him is amazing, man. He's such a talented guy, you know.
Inspector, your swordplay has much improved.
Has it? Your spear skill is better too.
Your journey is very much one of, you know, dedication to a cause, from an early age being inspired by Bruce Lee and wanting to work in action movies and not compromising as well. Because I know there was a time where you could easily have been working in, you know, soap operas in Mexico. I think there was an opportunity there where, you know, your life could have taken a very different turn there. But you've stayed steadfastly on your goal and on your dream and ambition, and you've achieved, you know, amazing things. So from where you are now, you know, is there any, it's not an easy question, but, you know, is there any advice that you've learned along the way, along that journey, which has had bumps in the road, obviously, but what would you say to someone?
I will say, just to be honest, just to don't be afraid of being honest, on following the truth of what you love to do, and try to whatever you got to do in life, because we understand life sometimes is hard and you have to kind of compromise things in order to live and to live in this life, right? This so materialistic life that we have things that we need to do, to, like, basic stuff like paying rent and buy food and stuff like that, that we, you know. So even though you may be not able to just fully dedicate to what you love, because maybe you're not going to get an income from it right away, right? Always leave a space in your day to grow that, to work on that. Never leave it on the side. Never, ever. Do everything you can to keep a window in your day of your time to do what you love to do, to learn, to grow, to explore, to try things. Never abandon that. And if you never abandon that, I believe life will surprise you and will show you the way. I remember when I arrived to LA and I was a dishwasher, right, in a restaurant, in a Mexican restaurant. You know, I was the whole day working as a dishwasher, and I was doing the math. I'm like, how am I going to get out of this situation, right? Because, you know, I'm hardly paying my rent. You know, when I'm going to train? Well, so then that was a question. How I'm going to pay a gym? How I'm going to meet people? How I'm going to, if I'm hardly going through the month? But then I said, well, I wake up early, I clean a gym, and then I have the keys, so I can train in the gym after I clean it. So that was the deal with the owner. I could train if I can come and clean, right? And after that gym, someone told me, hey, you should go and train to where they're training, they're doing stunts. And that's where I met Lornell. That's where I met a lot of, like, the stunt industry. And that's when Andy Cheng offered me to be the double of The Rock on the movie The Rundown. So if I would have just say, no, you know what, I need to focus on paying my rent to be in Hollywood, right, and to live in LA, because then, and I would not let that little space of being honest, doing what I love to do, that opportunity would have never happened. You understand? So that's kind of the lesson that I took in life. It's like, no matter what situation you are, you need to leave a time or a space to do what you love to do, in order to move forward on that. Because every decision you make and every action you take in life will guide your next, like, it will create it's a branch, it's like a tree. It's many branches that opens for each action and decision you take in life. So now that I see it from outside, right, from up here, I see my life back there, and I kind of see those decisions and see why things happen. I think that it's a common thing in my whole life, is that because I never gave up of doing what I love to do, and I tried to find a way, even if it was hard to do, that always end up opening me a door to the direction of what I want to be.
Everyone always says, oh, you know, a lot of it comes down to luck, but what's that expression around perseverance plus talent equals luck, something like that? I don't know if you've have you heard that?
Exactly.
But, you know, the idea that, you know, that you being in the right place at the right time, okay, you could say that's luck, but you worked hard to get there. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And for me, it's like what I was telling you about using that as an energy, right? For example, when I was working as a dishwasher in a restaurant, I arrived home very tired, and I saw Hollywood, the sign, right?
Yeah.
It would be different if I'm working as a dishwasher in Chile doing something that I don't love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you just stay positive and find, I understand that everything you're doing is for a reason, that it's taking you closer to your goal.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
When you understand that, then no matter what you're doing is going to have a different meaning. And the strength and the passion and the way you're going to be towards that is going to make such a big difference. Mm-hmm. And people see that. Opportunity comes. I feel life will show you that, will show you the way when you're living your life through that position. Like you said, like, for example, the offer that I received in Televisa was an amazing offer. Amazing.
Yeah.
But it was doing soap operas. So then I asked to my question to myself, is like, okay, who I am, what's my passion? It's just make money and being an actor and be rich. It's not that. So now I need to be consequent and be honest. And then when I arrive to LA and I'm washing dishes and I'm working, I'm like, trust me, my mind many times told me, man, Marco, I think you made a mistake, man.
But even know, then, Marco, because you could even have made a very comfortable living doing, because you were doubling The Rock and that was a big movie, but you could make a pretty decent living just doing stunts, you know, stunt doubling and working in that world. But even then you were like, no, I've got higher dreams. I want to produce and make my own movies. Like, particularly if you needed the money at that time, that's a really brave decision to take, isn't it, really, to then go back to Chile and make your own films?
Yeah, the thing is that, you know, life also helped me make those decisions, you know.
Right.
Things were stuck in the U.S. in that moment for me. Like, there was a visa issue that I was not able to renew the visa and la la. And at the same time, to be honest, like, after experiencing that movie, that I'm so thankful, you know, to work on that movie. At the same time, I realize and I understand this is not what I want to do. Because back then, actually, it's different today. Today, there's so many action martial art movies. And now there's a specialty, like fighting stunts. So there are some stunts that just specify in fighting, right? Back then, it was, if you want to be a successful stuntman, you got to do everything, because there was not a lot of like fighting in movies like now. Like, every superhero movie now, they know how to fight. So you can do an amazing living doing fighting stunts, right? And that's an amazing career. Like, it's an amazing career, right? Back then, if you want to do a good, you want to do good in stunts, you got to know everything. You know, you need to do horse riding, bike, you need to ride a bike, you need to do weapons,
high
you
falls.
Need to fight, you need to fall, you need to crash. The more you do, the more successful you are, right, in the stunt community, in the stunt industry. So for me, in that point in my life, I was like, this is not what I want to do. I love martial arts. Mm-hmm. I've been training my whole life martial arts. And in that movie, The Rundown, I didn't even throw one kick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I didn't even throw a punch. It's like I'm reacting, I'm falling, I'm jumping. Yeah, I was very physical. I use all the skills, like tumbling on the hill, fighting with the little guys, you know, the rebels, like with Ernie. Blah, blah, blah. But it was not, you know, it was not what I prepared my whole life for. I could continue my career as a stuntman, you know, work with The Rock and all that. That he's amazing. And every time I see him so successful now, I'm so like, I kind of feel like, you know, I was there when he started. And,
totally.
You know, he's a very nice man. He deserves all his success, man. Cool guy, you know. At least with me, he was the best, man.
Yeah.
So, well, the thing is that for me, it's like, I need to make the decision. It's like, I stay in the U.S., continue doing stunts, or I can, with this movie, use it as a start to do my movie in Chile and apply everything that I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a much more attractive thing for me. It comes to that thing that you ask me, what you will tell someone after this. It comes to that in all those decisions that I made in my life, it comes to that, to stay honest, to stay truthful, and even though things are hard, find a way to not abandon doing what you love to do every day, even if it's only 1 hour or 30 minutes or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be times better, there's going to be times worse, doesn't matter, but it's consistency. If you do nothing, there's nothing going to happen.
Yeah.
Zero.
What's the next project we see you in then?
I don't know, because I don't know when they're going to release Fight or Flight. I don't know when they're going to release The Killer Games.
Yeah.
Affinity, I think, is going to take a while because we're just finished shooting. So now the post is kind of slow. It's going to be a big one, big post. So I'm looking to 1 year, I think, of post on that one. The other movies, I think, should come up sooner, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, we look forward to seeing it, and I'm a big fan of your work, and I'll be watching. So just keep going, keep kicking ass, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, man.
Cheers, Marco.
Thank you for everything. Big hugs, man.
Thanks, Marco. Bye-bye. Marco Zarraw there. What a joy that was to chat to Marco. We spoke for quite a long time that day, and he was very patient, very accommodating. He is clearly a deep thinker, and I think he enjoyed just taking his time to answer the questions genuinely and really think about his responses. So thank you, Marco, for that. Really enjoyed our conversation. I hope you did too. A couple of notes to end on. As mentioned just then, Marco's upcoming films include the action comedy The Killer's Game. That is directed by J.J. Perry. It stars Dave Bautista, Ben Kingsley, Sophia Boutella, Ice Cube, Scott Adkins, Marco Zarraw, and Daniel Bernhardt. That is a fantastic cast, I think you'll agree. We also have Fight or Flight. That is directed by James Madigan. Josh Hartnett stars in that one alongside Marco. And I just noticed that Juju Chan Sito, former guest on this podcast, she is also in the movie. And Affinity, that's the movie that Marco has just wrapped in Thailand. That stars Marco alongside Louis Mandela. Brahim Chab is also in that one, another former guest on this podcast. Catch Fist of the Condor now wherever you get movies, in the UK courtesy of Dazzler Media, and John Wick Chapter 4, that is streaming now on Amazon Prime. And that is it for today's episode. A huge thank you to Marco Zarraw for taking the time to talk to me, and a huge thank you to you, the loyal Foo follower, who has listened to this episode all the way to the very end. Thank you so much. Your next episode of the show will be very soon. In fact, hot on the heels of this one, it will land a week from today on the 18th of December. That will be part one of our special two-part end-of-year show 2023, featuring your friend and mine, the action movie expert Mike Fury. Part two will then land on Christmas Eve. That's the 24th of December. So, until then, do take care, be well, be merry. Don't go too mad at the office Christmas party. And I will speak to you all again very soon, in a week's time, in fact, on the next episode of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. Happy holidays, Foo followers, and bye for now.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.